I've been wanting us to contemplate how is God, and where I want you to go today is 1 John chapter 1. Get right to the point. God reveals Himself as being light. God is light. And of course, that is stated for us in 1 John chapter 1. We'll just read the whole chapter. It's only 10 verses. You'll notice right in the middle of this is couched those three words, God is light. Look for them. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. Sounds very much like the Apostle of John, chapter 1. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. I have at least four books in my library that deal specifically with the attributes of God. And none of them have a chapter or a section devoted to God is light. I have at least four systematic theologies on my shelves at home. And to the best of my knowledge, I say that because I looked at the table of contents. I didn't actually look at every single page in every single one of them. Some of them Hodge is three volumes, and I did not go through every page to guarantee this. But I can tell you from the table of contents, there is no section or chapter stated in the table of contents in any of the four systematic theologies I have that devote to God is light. Yet what I find interesting is this: when God gives us His book with His attributes, at least those attributes that He would reveal to us, one of them that He gives to us is precisely this: God is light. And in fact, I started thinking, well, okay, if you were gonna have a chapter on it, what would you call it? We looked at last week, God is Spirit. I know that Robert Raymond in his systematic theology has a section entitled The Spirituality of God. Any book on the attributes of God or a systematic theology, if it's worth its weight, is going to have a section devoted to the holiness of God. We looked at the holiness of God. But I was thinking, what would you call that section if you were dealing with God is light? You could just call it that, God is light. Or I was thinking you could call it, what, the luminosity of God? We don't even hear that. The brightness of God, the radiance of God. But God is light. That's what John tells us. God's own book of His attributes, he tells us, He is light. That's one description of Himself that He does not pass over. So perhaps we ought not to pass it over. Remember, I told you in the beginning, I wasn't going to get my headings out of systematic theologies or books on the attributes of God. I was going to go to God's Word and try to figure out what is it that God says about Himself. That's what I'm interested in. What does God want us to know about how He is and who He is? And you know, if you just think about this, if you just, which I did, if you just go to God's Word and you have the computer tools to just scour the Word of God and find out everything that's said about God being light, you find some really glorious verses. Like, listen to this one. I know you know this. Don't turn there, but listen to it. 1 Timothy 6:15. The only sovereign, the King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light. Now you think about that. That word dwelling. That's a dwelling. God's house is light. But I got to thinking about this. Unapproachable light. You know, we think about a fire being unapproachable. But you know, when Paul is speaking to Timothy here, he doesn't say anything about him being a fire. Now, there are places where it says God is a consuming fire, but not here. There's nothing about fire. There's nothing about heat. Usually when we think about light being inapproachable, what is it that keeps us from coming to it? It is an intensity of heat or fire about it. But there's nothing about that here. It's the light itself that is unapproachable. The light, there is such an excessive glory, an intensive glory that God must have. Light so brilliant, so white, so pure. And I'm thinking about this. You know, this is the kind of light we could say something like this. The eyes of angels and men cannot endure it. But you see, if you take a blind man, he can't endure it either. And I was beginning to think, because it's the kind of light that not just pierces the cornea on eyeballs. It's the kind of light that pierces conscience. It pierces soul. It pierces into the very heart of a man. It pierces the intellect of a man. It is a brightness that is so bright, man can't go there. He can't dwell there. Think about this. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Now listen to this. Covering yourself with light as with a garment. What imagery. You can see a royal king in His majesty, and He covers Himself with a robe that has a train. We see that imagery. High and lifted up, His train filled the temple. It speaks of the Lord there in Isaiah 6. But imagine a king with His kingly garment, and He puts it on. And the imagery here is that when the Lord puts His garment on, it is light itself. He robes Himself. And you think about, if light is the garment by which we perceive Him, I mean, what happens if you strip it off? Pure God. What blazing reality is the pure God Himself. That's cloaked beneath a veil that's light. I mean, we get lost in amazement when you start thinking about it. Habakkuk, the prophet, minor prophet. Listen to what he says, Habakkuk 3:3. God came from Timon, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. Now, you catch this. I love this. His brightness was like light. The NES says His radiance is like the sunlight. Rays flashed from His hand. Now, watch these words. And there He veiled His power. I read that and I said, okay, imagine this. Imagine you suddenly are confronted by a being of such intensity, light flashing from His hand. There's a brilliance. This is unapproachable light. You come to one who is light, pure light, white light, an intensity of light, brilliance all together. And Habakkuk says, and He veiled it. He's veiled. Moses veils himself so that Israel can't see the intensity. But God is such intensity itself that when He's veiled, it just breaks forth like Habakkuk sees. Brightness. I mean, God veiled is still God bursting forth with an effulgence of light, rays flashing from His hand. Imagine, I mean, we've had storms lately. Have you ever had a bolt of lightning strike real close? And that's His creation. That's but a small thing. I mean, you just get one of His angels, and an angel has a face with the intensity of like a bolt of lightning. The intensity of God Himself who can create such intensity. That's just a small demonstration of His power. And you begin to think about this light as Scripture talks about it. I mean, listen to what we have the prospect of if we are Christians. This beautiful beams of divinity literally swallowing up God's people throughout eternity. Isaiah, he says in chapter 60 of his prophetic letter, "The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Your days of mourning shall be ended." And this same imagery is picked up in Revelation right at the end as God is closing out His revelation to us. And as He's giving us prospect of eternity to come and the heavenly city and heaven itself and what it's like. He says this in Revelation 21. "The city has no need." This is the city of God, the people of God, the dwelling place of God. "This city has no need of sun or moon." Isaiah says that the sun and moon will no more go down. John says the city, whether it's down or not down, whether there's suns and moons and anything of that sort in the future heavens and earth, the new heavens and earth, I don't know. But all I know is this, there will be no need for them. Even if there is that, there will be no need for them. Undoubtedly, the new creation will awe us. God will put Himself on display through that creation. And if there's suns and moons and stars and these galaxies are the handiwork of His hand, who can imagine what it will be in the new heavens? I can't. But for all that, whether God even creates other things that have light, He Himself will be the fullness. For the glory of God gives that city light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Again in Revelation 22:5, "Night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." Listen, eternity hastens, and for the child of God, look at the imagery. All will be light, swallowed up in light. But it's not the kind, listen, this is warm light, bright light. But we will be people of light who will swim in this light with delight. It will be something that will be attractive to us. It will be beautiful. We are going to see the face of Him who is our husband. He will not shine on us with a light to drive us away. Like when you turn on the lights and the cockroaches scurry. Not like that. And think of it. I mean, John, I'm amazed at how John and Paul, when it comes to describing God with light, how they just mix their metaphors. The light of the city, the lamp, is the Lamb. I mean, think about the metaphors here. The lamp is a Lamb. Think what that says about the light. What does that tell you about the light when God Himself would say, the light is a lamb? Does that sound like burning intensity? Does that sound like hellfire light? Does that sound like the kind of light that drives us away like bugs to go hide under rocks when the light is the lamb? To me, that speaks of a light that is tender, that is love, that is, it's the light of salvation. It's the light of Him who's a lamb, not even portrayed as a lion, but the lamp is giving off beams as a lamb. That speaks of God's love to His people. Does it not speak that way to you? Have you ever thought about such imagery? It's like if I think about something as being a lamp, I'm looking for it being some sort of light, some sort of torch, some sort of, you know, not a lamb. You don't think of lambs as being the source of light. And yet that's what the eternal city is all about. I was just thinking, what must lamb light be like? And it's desirable, altogether desirable, I guarantee you. It's the light of Him who gave Himself for us. And you know, I don't know about the, you know, Revelation is such a book of symbolism and, you know, what all this looks like, I don't know. But I can tell you this, when God manifested Himself in the person of His own Son, there was actual light, there was physical light. It's not that He walked around wearing our likeness, beaming forth all the time, but just, oh, brethren, you can't read long about Christ in the Gospels and throughout the New Testament without getting the idea that it was just like there was light just ready to blaze through at any moment. Beneath the slightest veil, the thinnest veil of His humanity, but just ready to burst forth at any time. Matthew 17:2, you know, there on the Mount of Transfiguration, He was transfigured before them and His face shone like the sun and His clothes became white as light. And it, of course, there in Revelation, there John sees Him, His face was like the sun shining in Revelation chapter 1 verse 16, shining like the sun shining in full strength. John says, when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as though dead. That's what happens to a man before he is glorified. And you know what Paul said? Acts 26, he says, at midday, O king, he's speaking to the king there, Paul, in his chains. He's coming before the king and he's giving his testimony. And he says, let me tell you, when I came face to face with the Christ, there was light. He said, a light from heaven brighter than the sun that shone round me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. When Christ shows up, there's light. I mean, real light, physical light. We're not just talking about light of knowledge or light of understanding or light as opposed to blindness or light as opposed to moral darkness. There is all that. But He's light itself. Physical light. He's light in every sense. So God is light. Let's just think about what that means. What does John mean? In John 1, when he talks the way he talks. Now, what I want you to do is remember this. The Apostle John, you know, I'm sure I didn't look this up. I didn't look into it. I can imagine that there are guys out there who want to take God as light and they want to get into the science of light. I can really imagine that that takes place. But I know this. John's not speaking to scientists. He's speaking to regular, average, common, saved sinners. And maybe some in their ranks not saved. But he's speaking to the common man. When he says this, the message we have heard from him, from Christ, and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I mean, look, it's true. We can think about light. We look, there is light here. We know some things about light. I know that light travels at about 186,000 miles per second. We know that light has a wavelength, but it also travels in particles called photons. It's, you know, the interesting thing about light is it behaves like particles and like waves. It's a type of electromagnetic radiation. But you know, for all that, when John says God is light, you think he wants us thinking any of that? He wants us thinking what we know commonly about light. He's speaking to us with this kind of verbiage because he expects that in the common man we have an image about what light is. And so, what should we think when we hear God is light? Well, one of the most basic, fundamental principles. We all need to get this. Because, listen, you know what? We could probably do this. We could probably have an open forum right now, and I could say, hey, what is your opinion about what God is light means? We could get hands raised up, and we could have discussion. But you know, we don't want to do that with Scripture. Anytime we find terminology, anytime we find symbolism, anytime we find ideas and concepts related to us, one massively important principle of biblical interpretation is this. We want to define Scripture with Scripture. We want to interpret Scripture with Scripture. We want to look at the full body of the analogy of faith, this book, and we want to figure out what God means when He says this. Because, look, there are people who will go back 2,000 years ago and they will look at writings, secular writings from Greek and Roman culture 2,000 years ago. I'm not saying that's bad. You can definitely get an idea of how words were used in that society. But bottom line, what we're interested in is not near as much as how secular society used a word, as much as how God intended it when it was given in His Word. And so what we want to think about is, what does God mean when He speaks about light? When God tells us and reveals this to us, I am light, what idea should we get? Well, I think that probably one of the most extensive treatments of light that we get in Scripture is found in Ephesians 5. And I want you to look there because I think it's very telling. It's very instructive to us about how we should think of light when we're thinking of spiritual things and most importantly when we're thinking of God Himself. Look at Ephesians 5:5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, Christian, do not become partners with them. Who's them? The sexually immoral, the impure, the covetous, the idolaters who have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God, the sons of disobedience. Children of God, have no association with them. Don't become partners with them. Verse 8, for at one time you were darkness. In other words, like them. They are dark. This You see, this has a moral connotation to it. Immorality, sexual immorality is darkness. They are darkness. At one time you were like them. At one time you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Now notice this. When anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that the ESV says becomes visible is light. But the KJV and the New KJV say anything that makes visible is light. And I think that's... I don't know why the ESV opted for becomes. Because even the Greek word has to do with makes. And it just makes lots of sense to me that anything that makes visible is light. I don't know. That's one of the places I don't like where the ESV translated. But anyway, if you back up to verse 13, you can see this reality clear enough. When anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. What is the main function of light? What does it do? It exposes. Light exposes. Light makes things visible. Light shows us things how they really are. If you're in a pitch black cave, pitch black, no light, and all of a sudden, bang, we're right there. And I say, okay, imagine this. Boom, we're in Carlsbad Cavern. I mean, we're down at a level where there is no light at all. And suddenly, here we are. And you can all hear my voice. And I say, everybody be calm. Okay, now what I want everybody to do when I say, on your mark, get set, go, I want you to go running straight forward as fast as you can. And so you're going to be reluctant to do it. Why? Because there's no light, which means you can't see how things really are. You're ignorant to how things really are. You're blind to how things really are. Light is when suddenly everything becomes visible. Light causes us to see things as they truly are. Bang! The light comes on and you find out there was a hole before you. There was a stalactite hanging down that you were going to bang your head on. But suddenly you see that. You can step over the hole. You can duck your head and go under the thing and on your way you go. You see, that's what light does. If somebody turned on a flashlight, boom, suddenly the cavern you're in becomes enlightened. Well, that's the same idea. Paul is saying here to the Ephesians, this is what light does. Light exposes. You are children of light. Don't be partner with their darkness. Rather, be light. In other words, shine on them. Expose what they do. Show it to be what it is. And if you thought about, just think about this. Expose it. Well, it was true before. It was true before they shined on it. What does it mean to expose it? I mean, what does that really mean when we expose it? It's just like when you were standing in the dark. There was a hole before you. There was an obstruction you were going to hit your head on. They were true. They were real. When the light comes on, it shows you that they're there. It shows you the things really are. What does this mean when we, as children of light, are to be exposing the darkness, the dark deeds? It's not like we come to them and we tell them something that they don't know in the sense of a man steals. And you come up to him and you say, you shine your light on him and you say, you stole. Well, he knows he stole. That isn't what it means by expose. What it means by expose is show them that for what it really is. You show them that that is so wicked, they deserve hell over it. You show them the dread end of that sin. You show them there's hell for that. You show them that that is bad, that is wicked, that is really bad, that is black, that is dark, that is sinister. What you did is evil. What you did, God hates. You know, the thief typically walks around thinking he's a pretty good person. And you show him, you expose all that for what it is. You expose how wicked it is. You expose how much God hates it. You expose what the end of it's going to be. You expose. You see, you shine the light on it. That's exactly what Paul's doing, right? You shine the light on it. You tell people that do such things, they don't inherit the kingdom of Christ in God. That's what exposure has to do. Look, lots of people running around in their sin think it's going to be well. You know, you're going through life and you're just kind of living it for yourself, and you make your way to church once in a while, but you're thinking, well, it's going to turn out pretty good. It's going to go well. But when we come along and we expose, we shine this light on. Listen, I've heard of various situations where people don't want to come here. In fact, I just heard today, somebody said that they don't want to come here because the Christianity here is too radical. But you know what that means? That means when they come here, people are shining beams of light on them and exposing that, and people don't like that. They run away from it. They don't want to know the truth. They want to be a fool that takes off running in a dark cave, falls in the pit, whacks his head on the thing hanging down. And we don't want to be like that. We expose it. And you know what? We don't expose it just to whack people on the head of the reality of the depth of their wickedness. We want to expose it just like the doctor, when he brings out his x-rays, exposes the cancerous tumor on the inside so that we can deal with it. That's why Paul's purposes are purposes of mercy. You want to show people, listen, people that live lives like you're living, they don't inherit the kingdom of God in heaven. They don't go there. So exposure. That's what light does. Light makes manifest. Light is the great revealer of what is there. And remember this, God is light. He's the purest light. John said that there's no darkness in Him at all. All is exposed before God. If there's something about God, everything is exposed before Him. Everything is an open book before Him. Everything is light. Everything, there's nothing at all that's hidden. His light exposes everything exactly as it is. God is light. But, of course, the light, as we've already mentioned, has more meaning than just the fact that it exposes. I mean, the fact is, look, if I run out in my dark backyard some night and I have a flashlight and I shine it over, yes, it exposes what's there. It might expose that there's, you know, James is talking about weeds in the yard. It might expose that there's weeds back there. It might expose that there's a pile of branches back there. It might expose a lot of things that are back there. But they don't necessarily have any idea in just exposure itself, whether it's good or bad. But the thing is, you definitely get an idea in Scripture that when dark and light are spoken of, it's not just that there's exposure that light exposes. There's a moral quality in Scripture. The opposite of light is dark. And I want you to notice what light is associated and what darkness is associated with right here in these verses. Look at verse 11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. So what do you have darkness associated with? Unfruitfulness. Unfruitful means worthless. I mean, Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can't bear fruit. Unfruitful, dark. This is severed from Christ. What else? Well, if we keep reading, instead, expose them. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. So, dark goes hand in hand with what? Shame. That which is shameful. That which men do in secret. That which men do and they want hidden. Because it's shameful. Shameful. Darkness has to do with unfruitful. It has to do with shameful. It has to do with just like we started out back in verse 5, right? What, it's sexual immorality, impurity. Often in God's Word, light and dark are used with respect to moral quality. Look at verse 9. The fruit of light. See, light doesn't just expose. Light isn't just bright. Light has a morally upright aspect to it. The fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Don't you love the imagery here? I mean, Paul mixes his metaphors just like John does. You have a tree. Jesus talks about trees that bear fruit all the time. But now here it is. Paul, his imagery is this, the fruit of light. I mean, he's not dealing with trees, he's dealing with light. We think of fruit hanging from a tree, but Paul paints a picture of fruit hanging from light. Paul calls goodness, righteousness, truth, the fruit of light, because it grows naturally out of light. Fruit comes out of a tree because of what the tree is, right? And good fruit comes out of light because of what light is. I mean, when you think light, God wants you thinking about the highest, purest of moral quality of goodness and righteousness and truthfulness. God is light. He doesn't just expose. God is the purity of righteousness. He's the purity of truth, all good, the fullest expression of all these things. All other lights are but a shadow. Now, back to 1 John chapter 1. I want you to see something here. Verse 5, this is the message we've heard of Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And so now you think about what we've just looked at. God exposes. Well, light exposes. Actually, back in Ephesians 5, he's speaking about Christians and what we ought to be as children of light. But you get the idea of light, the fruit of light. Good, right, true. There's a moral quality. It exposes. But when we say God is light, is that likely the same idea that John has in mind here when he says God is light, in Him is no darkness at all? Well, certainly that is. Notice the implications to you and me that God is light. And this is really important. How God is. You know, we've been looking at how God is. God is holy. What's the implication of that on us? What does Peter tell us? Be holy, because God is holy. If you remember, when Jesus said that God is spirit, remember the implications of that on us? What are the implications of that? Yeah, true worshipers, they have to worship in spirit and truth. Since God is spirit, therefore, He seeks such to worship Him. And there's implications that God is light. Look what He says in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, now we immediately know there's moral implications here, because this is how we walk, this is how we live, this is how we talk, this is our life. There's moral implications all over this. If you walk in sin, if you walk in darkness, if you walk in that which is unlike God, who is light, we lie. And we do not practice the truth. Notice, if we say, somebody says they're a Christian, that's what fellowship with Him means. Fellowship with God means drawing near to Him. It's communion with Him. It's fellowship with Him. It's closeness to Him. It's intimacy with Him. If somebody says that I know God, John says, you don't know God if you walk in the darkness. It's not possible. There's no true association or intimacy or close mutual friendship with the God of light if your life is not characterized by light. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying his God is a light, and if we enter into His presence and into His light, you will not be able to walk in darkness. And it's an absolute given fact. So absolute that John says this: if you say you're in the light but you walk in darkness, you're a liar. Bottom line. You say, whoa, that's hard language. I mean, you know, if you get done with the service today and you heard somebody say to someone else, you're a liar, you're not a Christian, we'd probably all look over and say, whoa, that was strong. But that's exactly what John's doing. I mean, if somebody came along and they said, I'm a Christian, and then they went on to tell you how they're living with their girlfriend, and you called them a liar, that's exactly what Paul's doing, or John, rather, is doing here. He's saying, look, if we look at your life, and your life is characterized by darkness, don't come along and say you know the God of light, because God being light has implications on us. And the thing is, if you're going to get saved, you have to go to God. You have to draw near to Him through Christ. And you cannot draw near to the God of light without that light of moral intensity and brightness shining on you and changing you and doing what God's light does to you. I mean, you cannot come into His presence without this kind of thing happening. It's just not possible. John gives us insight into this reality in John 3. Don't turn there. I want you to stay in 1 John. But just listen to these words. John 3:19. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world. What light came into the world? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the Word who in the beginning was with God and was God. Jesus Christ is God. God is light. Jesus Christ is light. He's the true light. He came into this world. And what happened? He shines in the darkness. And people love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds, their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. You see? Exposure. And it's a moral exposure. If you come to God, lay it down. He says, I will cleanse them from their idols. Your idols are black. They are dark. They are sinister. They are wicked. They are rebellion. And when you step into His light, God is going to take those things away. He is going to work purity. His light is going to burn off those things that are ugly. And it's a guarantee. That's what He's saying. Don't deceive yourself. That's why He's writing this. Again and again and again, Scripture says. In fact, wasn't that what He says in Ephesians 5? He said it in Ephesians 5. Let no one, what? Deceive you with empty words. What are the empty words that He is obviously alluding to when He says, let no one deceive you with empty words? It's because of things like this that the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Things like what? Sexual immorality, covetousness, idolatry, impurity. He says, people that practice such things, everyone who practices such things, they will not inherit the kingdom of Christ and God. Don't be deceived. This is so certain. Scripture just repeatedly comes, and John is coming again and he's saying, listen, God being light has implications on our life. And if you say you're a Christian, you say you know Him, but that light has not so transformed you, then you don't want to deceive yourself. Because that light exposes. And you see what John's saying. People who practice wickedness, they don't want to be exposed. And look, it's like I said before. It's not that they don't know that they've done it. Now, there may be a place where lost people sin and they don't even know it's sin. But they know they did what they did. That's not the exposure. The kind of exposure is like this. Isaiah walks into the light in the presence of God. And what immediately hits him? I'm a man of unclean lips. Suddenly just laid bare. What happened when the light of life came into this world? What happened when Christ walked in among the Jews? The Jews were supposed to be the favored people. They had the light of God and the Word of God. They were entrusted with the oracles. They had the prophets. The Messiah came from their lineage, the light of God Himself, the light of the world. He steps into the darkness. And what does it say? Did the darkness receive Him? What happened? The Pharisees. You have these Pharisees. They're touted as the holiest men in Israel. They walk up into the light of God, radiating from Christ, and what immediately happened? They scurried away like bugs. Because Jesus immediately leveled the light at them, and He exposed them for everything that they were. Have you ever read Matthew 23? That's just exposure. Light just beaming forth. He says, "You're hypocrites. You're like tombs full of dead men's bones. You look good on the outside, but you're hypocrites. How will you escape damnation?" He just, the light. Men don't want that. You know why they don't? One simple reason. Pride. Listen, you know the thing you find about this light? It's healing light. If you will come into the light and be exposed, there's truth in that light that also shows you how to deal with all the sin that gets exposed. It's healing light. But men don't want to be healed in that light because they don't want to be exposed by that light, because they don't want to be known what they really are. Their pride, they want to be, think highly of themselves. That's what Jesus said, right? We brought this up the other day. How can you believe when you seek the glory of men? It's pride. When you want to be thought well of by men, how can you believe? How can you come into the light? You can't come into the light. You won't come into the light. And that's exactly what John says. He says they don't come to the light lest the works should be exposed. And what happens? If you come into God's presence, God is light. He will expose you. But like I said, His light is healing light. His light is good light. It only shows us the truth. And why would you not want to know the truth? Why? Even if that truth smashes your pride, would you rather not? Spurgeon would pray, "Lord, show me the worst. Show me the worst of my condition." I mean, why? What good does it do to be like the proverbial ostrich? Stick your head in the sand when everything is bad around you, just tell you, "Oh, it's okay. That's safe. I feel good." "Yeah, but you got cancer, man." "Yeah, but I don't want to deal with it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It doesn't make me feel good about myself." You know what? Better to feel bad about your condition and get it healed. You know what that light does? That light shows us the true ugliness of sin. That's what it really does. It shows us how ugly we are. You know, it's like the woman, you know, she doesn't... In my bathroom, we had these kind of, you know, those fluorescent lights, and they don't have the best light. And I got these LED lights, and poof, it makes everything really bright there. But I can imagine... probably men too, but probably more likely women, not wanting the light to be so bright there. Because why? Then everything is exposed, right? Della, you're making comments over here. But I mean, that's kind of foolish, right? Well, I don't want the light bright because I don't want to have to deal with how it really is. But that's how the light of God is. It exposes us for what we really are. It shows us how hopeless things really are. How hopeless things truly are. It shows us our lostness. It shows us our only hope rests outside of ourselves. You know what? The light shows us how indeed ugly we are. And we are ugly by nature. We are so ugly, it's terrifying. Men are shocked when all of a sudden they wake up in the light of God and they see themselves. Do you... look, can you relate to that? I can. When the Word of God came to me back in 1990, and suddenly it hit me one night as I'm reading MacArthur's book, and I saw myself in the light of God, a way I'd never seen myself before. And I suddenly recognized I was bad through and through. That's what that light does. But like I say, it's healing light. That's good. That's the first step to recovery. That's the first step to healing. That's the first step to being made right. Is to see yourself wrong. I mean, it's in the light of that you say, I'm in trouble. Where is my hope? And in that light, you see where the hope lies. That's, God is light. But God's light not only exposes how we are, God's light also exposes our path. And again, let me read this. I don't want you to turn there because I'm going to come back to 1 John 1 in a second. But listen to this. Walk, John 12:35. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. Listen to this. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. In other words, what's the opposite? The one who walks in light does know where he's going. You know what happened to me that night? I suddenly saw myself as I was. I not only saw myself as I was, I saw the path I was on. And I recognized right away, I'm going to hell. But see, I didn't recognize that before. Because before you're in the light, you're in the darkness. And in the darkness, you think like the Pharisees, all's well, we're in, we're God's people, we're accepted. Despite all this sin in their life, despite as far away from God as they were, all this darkness, suddenly the light shines. And didn't Jesus tell them, how will you escape damnation? He tried to show them. He's beaming His light out, but they would not see. And He says, you will not believe. They close their eyes. It's like the woman who looks in that mirror, bright lights, and she just closes her eyes. No, 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 I'm beautiful. When it's saying, no, you're not, you need a facelift, seriously. You need something radical. You need something recreative. In fact, beyond that, you don't just need skin stretched. You need a new face altogether. And that's what I saw. I saw I'm going to hell. And I deserve it. But you see, a man that's in the darkness, he doesn't know his path. He doesn't know where he's going. That's why you get all these people in Matthew 7. They're all just shocked. Lord, Lord. We did many mighty works. What's going on here? Why? Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. But you see, the light exposes all that lawlessness. But notice this. There's light, or there's life in that light. Look back at 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And watch this. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's life in that light. That's why the light is so good. It doesn't just expose. It gives life. God is light. If we walk in the light, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. But the question comes to my mind is this. God is light. If I would find cleansing from all my sins in the blood of the Son of God, how do I get into that light? Where is that light? Undoubtedly, Scripture is light. It's a lamp. Undoubtedly, Christ Himself is the lamp. But Scripture is here. Truth has been revealed. You know what I see here in these verses? How do I get into the... Where would be a good place to start as far as seeking to put myself in that light? 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And you see, the person who says that they have no sin, they're not in the light. Because they're not seeing things as they really are. That's just a rejection of the light. The truth is not in us. But check this out. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. But it's specifically verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. Confessing is what? What is confession? It's bringing my sins into the light. By faith, I'm looking that there is blood. You know what that light does? That light reveals the blood. It reveals the only hope. And I come into that light, and even though that light is going to expose me and lay me bare, don't hesitate. Put it all out there. Confess it all. Because it's in the confession of that. It's in the confession. You know, our sin, it's that which is shameful. Right? I mean, it says it's shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. And if you and I told the truth, we've heard it said before. There's numerous people out there talking about, you know, if you could put your life up on the projector. And you all know, if it was time to put your life on that projector, the things you've done in secret, as I've heard Paul Washer say, you'd run from the place, and you would. It'd be empty, so we wouldn't have to worry about anybody seeing what you did, because if I was getting, you know, if I was up next, we're all going to be gone. But the fact is this, all those shameful things that you think would be so hard to admit, when you bring them out into the light, the blood of Christ washes them all clean as the new fallen snow. White as wool. So Isaiah uses the imagery. You bring him out. Confession. Bring all your shame, all your filth, all that you did dead in your trespasses and sins. And doesn't Scripture say, arise, O sleeper? Or awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I mean, arise. Arise. Take your sins into the light. Throw them all out there. Lord, I'm nothing. Here it is. Number your sins before Him. As much as God gives you a memory, go through them. Lay them out there before Him. See what a wretch you really are. Let God's light just shine on those things. And in that light, there's this healing. This doesn't say to confess it. I know there's a place to open up with brothers and sisters, but this confession is to God, not to me, not to the priest, not to this church. You need to be honest with the Lord. You take Him there, and the light of God, it'll pour out healing springs and streams of Christ's blood into the wounds and the sores. God will bind you up. See, if we're in the light, you have to remember this. This is what John is saying. If you're in the light, you're practically in the light. If you say you're in the light, and practically you're not living like a child of light, you're a liar. And the truth isn't in you. You're in trouble. You're deceived. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The light is found in Christ. It's found in confession. It's no use to affirm that God is light and pretend to know Him unless you walk in the light as He is in the light. And God's light produces a certain kind of walk. And why does it? Because it shows us. It shines on us. It reveals it all. It shows us how we are. We recognize filth. You know your sins. You know how black and stained they are. And they come out, you recognize, God, there's no hope for me now. And all that the light has revealed, there's no hope in me. And that's exactly, God says, you're exactly right. look into my light and see that your only hope rests in this perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. You trust Him, you will be robed with a righteousness not your own. You follow Him. He says, follow me. Follow me, you won't walk in the light. I'm the light. Abide in me. Follow me. And what happens when we go into the light is it doesn't just show us what we are. It doesn't just show us how bad we are. The light shows us how precious Christ is. And look, don't think, well, this is just, you know, oh man, I guess I got to do this so that I miss hell. What happens when you come into the light is you just doesn't recognize that you're hellbound. Suddenly God opens your eyes to who Christ is. You suddenly not only see yourself for who you are, you see Him for who He is. And He is altogether lovely. And when you look at Him, you don't say, oh man, I got to do this to miss hell. You look at this and you see the beauty of Christ. And you recognize it. Nothing else matters now. It's not just saving my skin from hell. I got to have Him. There is such beauty there. There is everything I need, everything that is satisfying, everything that is precious, everything that is beautiful is there. It's in Him. You see His blood for what it is. It is perfectly cleansing. You see His resurrection and the power of it for what it is. It's absolutely transforming to me. You see in Him your every answer to every need. That's what it does coming into the light. God is light. And so we want to draw close to Him and close to His light. Go to Him. Go look at Christ, the light in this book, the Bible, which is the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet. Go there. And as you seek Him in here, Him who is light, you bring your sins out. You confess them before Him. You trust. Jesus said, believe in the light. I mean, believe everything that the light shows you. Believe it. Don't run from it. Don't be like the Pharisees that isn't shined on them. No, I don't want anything to do with that. No, I'm going to believe what I want to believe. I'm going to believe I know God no matter what my life is like. I'm going to believe that. No, Jesus says, believe in the light. You believe in the light. God is light. The pardon for sin is the peculiar privilege of those who go into the light. In the light, the blood cleanses you. It's in the light. It's not the privilege of anyone else. You stay in the darkness, there is no life. There is no healing. Deal truthfully with the Lord. All into the light. Those sins you so ashamed of, God says if you bring Him in the light, I'll just wash you perfect. All those things you're ashamed of and you hold your head down, you remember that tax collector in Luke 18, and he just bows his head because he knows he's just ashamed. And he brings it all. He brought it all. You know what? He brought it all out in one word. Two words. Because there's an article there which is pretty important. The sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, isn't that a good way to summarize all of it? What a confession. I'm the sinner, not just a sinner. He comes to recognize Himself for what He is, just like Paul came to recognize himself for what he was, the chief of sinners. And that's just it. Lord, that's me. There it is. And what happened? Jesus says He went home justified, which means what? Cleansed of all of His unrighteousness. Cleansed. What did He do? All of it in the light. But the Pharisee, he was in the dark. Look at me. I'm good. I'm not like this guy. Look at all the good things I do. Let's enumerate them. Bang, 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 bang. He's not in the light. He's in the dark. He wasn't confessing anything. He was boasting. You can see here, God is light has an implication on how you and I live our lives, on how you and I relate to God, on how you and I confess sin, on where healing is found. And it's always found in the light. Some of you are in the dark. But if you're in the dark, you don't have to stay there. And you know what? The only reason you will stay there is exactly based on the truth found in John 3. The only reason you'll stay in that dark is because you hate the light, because your deeds are evil and you don't really want to be exposed. You will get exposed. Will it hurt? Yep. It always hurts when God smashes your pride, because it's you. But it's like everything here. It's momentary light affliction in light of an eternal weight of glory. Does it hurt to come into the light? Yeah, it's painful. There's mourning, there's tears. Your whole self-image is wrecked. I mean, that's what happened to me that night. I sat there in Oshtemo, Michigan, and the light came on and it wrecked me. It will ruin you as far as who you think you are. But it's a good wreckage, because it's God wounding that He might heal. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It is healing light. It is good light. God will not expose your sin to laugh at you and mock you, to ridicule you. He'll expose it in order to make you one of His children, in order to make you worthy of being a wife for His Son. Lord, I pray that Your light would so shine brighter and brighter to that eternal day. May it shine brightly in this place. May we find sinners running to this light, the glorious light of Christ and of His salvation, of the power of His blood. Oh Lord, may this not be a place where sin is allowed to stay in the shadows. May the light of Your Word shine. May the light of Christ be real. Lord, we pray for the grace to follow Christ, not walk in the darkness. May the light of life truly shine in this place, because God, who is light, has chosen to reside among a chosen people, unworthy, but chosen. Amen.